With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today.
It's not a matter of achievements. It's not a matter of even goals. It's a matter of how do you want to feel? And everyone knows that. How do you want to be? What are the conditions that enable you to feel ignited and alive and inspired and seeing in Technicolor? That you know already. All of that information you already have within you.
Welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. My name is Raquel, and I'm excited to introduce to you this remarkable guest who is an author, she's an executive coach, and a leading expert in positive psychology, and her name is Stella Grisant. I'm fascinated by her method called the Work Happiness Method, and I think what sets her apart is her unique approach addresses underlying issues of why people might go through humps in their career life, and she also guides us to identify our true desires and makes us strive towards achieving them in both our career and our personal life, and helps us cultivate happiness and fulfillment in our careers as she unveils these 8 essential skills that are necessary to do so. Since she's a leading expert in positive psychology, she focuses on gaining clarity on our career goals, crystal clear clarity, and positively shift our mindset for lasting fulfillment. She's worked with over 1,800 clients in more than 30 countries, and she shares a variety of insights this episode on topics such as boundary setting in our careers and doing the inner work for our career satisfaction and the science of happiness and creating an authentic vision that also aligns with our true goals and balancing practicality and playfulness. So much we cover in this episode, and I can't wait for you to listen and enjoy and be inspired, especially if you are going through some sort of work or career moment of uncertainty, or you just want to up-level in whatever it is you do. So with that being said, I hope that you enjoy this episode. I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Stella Grisant. All right, Stella, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you on.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So this is the question that I ask everybody the first time they are on the show, and it's a little icebreaker. What is lighting you up the most this season of your life?
My children.
How many kids do you have?
I have two. My son just turned 3. His name is Lev, and my daughter's Lenore. She's 9. And you know, this morning I was in the shower and I was just trying to wake up because he's been waking me up all night, and I was feeling very grumpy and stressed and overwhelmed with all the stuff going on with this book launch. And then he runs into the bathroom and it's just instant light. And so I noticed that, and I was so grateful in that moment, being like, oh, how lucky am I that I have these like instant lights in my life that do that for me. So that
was nice. Very, very special. I love to hear that. Now, I also want to hear about your background. So how did you become an executive coach and a positive psychology expert? And also, why positive psychology? I'm so curious about all of that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's start with the positive psychology, because people often ask that and they're like, positive as opposed to negative? And I say, no, but kind of. So traditional psychology is a deficit model, and it studies what's wrong with people and how do we get them from -5 to 0? How do we get them back to normal? And positive psychology uses the same evidence-based approach, but it asks what's right with people and how do we amplify it? How do we get them from 0 to +5? And so a lot of the science that's been coming out in the last 3 decades or so, because it's a new-ish field, really echoes a lot of the things that ancient wisdom has taught us. So that's really nice, because I think people, especially now, feel comfortable when there's some like Western evidence-based thing saying, yes, breathing slowly helps you, or yes, your mindset matters.
And it's not just woo-woo, it's evidence-based, it's science, right, it's backed right by science, and so many people that have their testimonies with it.
Yes. So that was one of your questions. And how did I get into it? I got into it because I am, for many years, for the first half of my career, I was constantly yearning, struggling with finding my purpose, feeling like there was something more, and I would give it my all. I would burn out. I would have these dark moments, you know, in the bathroom stall, crying, praying, like there's got to be more to this. And then launching into something totally different. And again, finding myself in that same place over and over again, until I finally realized, oh, maybe it wasn't the corporate clients. Maybe it wasn't the leadership. Maybe it wasn't the company culture or whatever. Maybe it was me. Mm-hmm. And so not to blame, but to recognize that I had more power all along in my journey. And that's what inspired the Work Happiness Method as a coaching program, which I've been teaching and offering. And now that's the name of the book, and that's what I'm hoping to share with many more people.
That's so empowering. That's so empowering to know that. And I do totally agree that most of it has to do with our internal factors versus external factors. I'm curious, what inspired you to create the Work Happiness Method? What is this method? Talk about it. And also, how does it differ from other career programs?
Yes. So the Work Happiness Method is there's 8 inner skills that we cover, and if you do the coaching program, then it's weekly and I take you through videos and you can even coach with me. If you want to read the book, we have 8 inner skill chapters. Essentially, just to take a step back, when we think about work, the workplace and the skills that we cultivate, it used to be all that mattered were hard skills. Can you do the job and the task? They had to do with relating to the job at hand. And then we realized, oh, well, it also matters if you communicate well and if you get along with people and if you can build trust. And that's soft skills. And so billions of dollars have been spent in training people to do their jobs and to get along and to build better relationships and communicate better. But yet, Several years ago, we had the Great Resignation. People were burning out, leaving, like over 50 million people quit their jobs. And for over 20 years, we've been seeing that people just feel checked out. Like over 70% of people feel checked out. And I just want to say it doesn't have to be that way. And the skill set that we've been missing all along is what I call inner skills. So back to that inner experience. And it's how do we build the skills to relate to ourselves? And the thing that I'm most passionate about sharing is like being happy at work, loving your career, loving your life isn't a matter of luck. It's a matter of skill. And so we can teach these skills. And so that's what the Work Happiness Method teaches is 8 inner skills to help you manage your mind and mood, especially when you face setbacks. Create a clear vision of what brings you most alive so you know what your unique definition of success really is, not your mom's, not your friends, not what society tells you is right, but really knowing what really matters for you. It's knowing what you're, you look like you're gonna, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying yes. And I want to talk about that clear vision. And of course, I'll tell you why I can totally relate to this in a second, but I feel like you have more to share right now.
There's 8 skills. We can stop now. I talk about purpose and how do you live on purpose every single day? It's not about climbing a mountaintop or doing some amazing grand gesture. It could just be being better in whatever your sphere of life is and who your community is. Then we talk about healthy boundaries and how do you set healthy boundaries so that you're not burning out, so that you're not abandoning yourself, so you're not giving yourself away. We talk about how to face uncertainty with playfulness. How do you use your play instincts as a human to actually navigate the unknown and embrace it rather than contract in the face of it? Then we talk about discovery and how to really explore what the world has to offer you, what possibilities can exist in your job right now, in your organization right now to bring you more alive. And then how do you then ask for what you need? How do you have difficult conversations, not confrontations? What's that energetic preparation that you do? Because so many people skip preparing how they're going to say what they're going to say. They mostly just think about what do I say? What are the words that I have to prepare in this difficult conversation? So they're playing offense or defense instead of being curious and open. And your energy is everything, as I'm sure your listeners are already, like I'm speaking to the choir here. And so it's how do you prepare your energy so that you have transformational outcomes in those really difficult conversations? And then there's one more, and I think this is the one probably that resonates with you guys the most, which is I call it refocus. And it's about returning to yourself, returning to what matters when you hit setbacks. How do you embrace these detours and see them as instructional? How do you grow and transform even when it seems like things aren't going your way? But I'm like, how do you see the setback as a setup and trust? So those are the 8 skills.
So the woo-woo side of me is like, the universe is so funny, because I didn't even plan on talking about this with you, but this is hitting home so much, especially everything that you're saying right now. And I love that set up, like refocusing, needing to see how this could be a good thing, because I did tell you that you were the first person I've talked to in months. I've been very blessed to be doing this for 6 years now, 6 and a half, but I'll tell you what, the past year, and I've talked about this a little bit with the listeners, is I feel the setback, right? There's been a lot of shifts with this podcast the past year, but especially internally. And I think that that's great to know, and also remember that I have the power internally to shift this. But my passion, I've just lost it. And it's weird. It's like, you're talking to awesome people. Why? But we're human. And so I am so aware that this is something that I just need to step into the playfulness again, shift it. So I think that this is exactly the podcast I needed to restart this off when I'm talking to guests again.
Oh my God, I just got chills and I so resonate. And I think that's so beautiful that you shared that, so honest, because even sometimes when we're engaged in the right work and we're in the right place, something within us is
off. I felt off.
It's off. Mm-hmm. And the energy isn't there. And that's exactly the energy I had when I was writing that last chapter, Refocus. That chapter was supposed to be called Focus. And that's about how to achieve your goals. And I just rewrote that chapter like 10 times. And I literally had a primal scream in my car because it was like I was going in circles. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was so angry because I couldn't finish the chapter that was about finishing. And I got quiet and I was able to just be like, okay, what is this? What is this about? What is this trying to, what's the whisper? What's trying to get my attention? And I realized that I really wanted to honor when you do everything right and it still doesn't turn out how you want it to be. And that there's magic in that. And it just requires so much patience and trusting, which is probably the hardest thing to do in our society because we're told to like push, go on overdrive, you know, grind and get it out and do it anyway. And I wanted that to be a skill set that we really focus on because we need that because we're all fried. We're fried.
We're all fried. And you also said that 20 years ago, a lot of people have been checked out. And I feel like since 2020, so many of us have been checked out, you know, it's just another level of it. And we need to come back and refocus. I love that word, refocus.
What do you think this, like, I'm just curious, during your break, did you get any whispers?
To keep going. Don't give up. It's okay to evolve. It's okay that you don't resonate with a lot of the past content you used to be so passionate about. It's okay that your perspective shifts. I wanted to definitely change who I was talking to, who I was lighted to talk to. If it's not a hell yes, it's a no. It feels a lot better and more aligned.
That's so good. That's so good.
And you talk a lot about aligning with your authentic vision. But also, I feel like as we refocus, our vision might feel a little mucky and muddy. I know mine is right now. I'm like, I'm trying to see exactly what it is my next step is. So for people that are in the mud and they're trying to get clear on their vision, what's some advice that you give for them?
Yeah.
I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara by Thrive Cosmetics or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products. So that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with
with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order. As someone who is so excited to garden this spring, yet really wants top quality soil, I'm really excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine, which is an esteemed brand renowned for its organic soil offerings. And if you're seeking to infuse your home environment with a nourishing essence that promotes flourishing plant life, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because with over 28 years of expertise, Coast of Maine has meticulously crafted soils sourced from oceanic waters and farms certified for organic cultivation. It's so nice to find such a sustainable, eco-friendly brand who really emphasizes the importance of natural ingredients to enrich their soil. And I mean, they have, like I said, top quality with rigorous quality control and OMRI listed certification. Their diverse range of products caters to all gardening needs. Most of our soils may lack appropriate nutrients for success for our plants, and our plants need this. We want to regenerate the healthy microbes in our soils to set up for gardening success and just for our plants to thrive. So if we add Coast of Maine products, this will indeed help. Whether you're planting trees or shrubs or perennials in your yard, adding Coast of Maine soil in your planting holes leads to a long, slow feeding of your plants, making them self-sufficient and vibrant, which we love. Let's say you want a vegetable garden. Not only will you receive abundant harvest, but there will be less feeding and maintenance throughout the season. Amazing. You know that everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. And then you get to also feel good about their sourcing, as I'm so thankful they provide natural ingredients, because they will never include household waste or biosolids. And we know that nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, cultivated from products and practices rooted in Coast of Maine. And so they will continually perfect the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and the place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. We love supporting local, and the products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. So Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert. Anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. And their products make organic gardening simple and approachable so we can all garden. So let's get to growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. That's Coast of Maine, like the state with an E, coastofmaine.com.
So the word vision can mean a lot of different things. When I talk about vision, I am meaning, and the exercise that I do with my clients, I call it the vision generator. And if folks want, they can get it for free without even buying the book at visiongenerator.com. The first thing we do is I help them essentially remember who they are. You know, so often clients are like, I don't know what I want. And I'm like, actually, you do. You do because it's not a matter of achievements. It's not a matter of even goals. It's a matter of how do you want to feel? And everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. How do you want to be? What are the conditions that enable you to feel ignited and alive and inspired and seeing in Technicolor? That you know already. All of that information you already have within you. And so what we do when we create the vision is we're reverse engineering the way we typically approach defining success. So rather than start with the sexy goals, we start with a picture of who you are when your heart is singing. And And then we let that inform your values, and then we let that inform your goals and your actions. So that's why it's kind of, I call it a method, because there's a sequencing to it. And so we start with that, getting clear on who you are when you're most alive.
When you were walking through this, what did you experience when you were walking through, how do I feel when I'm most alive? Because when people think that, they might think, okay, let's get technical, but no, we want to just get to the raw truth. So I'm curious what you experience.
Yeah, I give a lot of instructions beforehand, because it's so hard for us to turn off the part of our brain that's like, how am I going to do this? Or this is what it should look like. So I do a lot of instructions. And in my course, I do a guided meditation to help us, because
Oh, that's great.
I call it like an imagination massage. And sometimes we have a lot of knots in our imagination and like hard spots that won't let go and don't let us fully relax into possibilities. So sometimes it takes a few rounds to really let yourself be in that space, depending on what messaging you got in your childhood, whether it's be realistic or that no, you can't do that, or that's not for you. So when I actually first discovered this, when I was dating, and I kept a, like a, you know, like a little checklist of the ideal man that I wanted.
We all do.
We all do. And so, you know, like good family, you know, treats, you know, is whatever, interested in this, nice person, like all these like wonderful attributes. And then I got that. I got that a few times, but I ended up feeling like really not aligned with the relationships I was in. I felt lonely. I didn't feel like myself. And then a friend of mine was like, Stella, you have to focus not on who they are, but how they make you feel and how you feel in relationship. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And so I started to, instead of a list of who they were, I made a list of, I feel seen, I feel adored, I feel like I'm with someone who can like awe the beauty of the universe. And that's like to the T, you know, my husband right now. So so that's what really inspired me in creating the vision generator. Which is,
That's
and
beautiful.
I did it when I was like shopping for a house. I do this when I'm looking for someone to join my team. I think about, how are we being in relationship with, you know, this new staff member, or how am I going to be in relationship with this home? And that helps me get clear on what is it that I really want, and then informs the goals.
And I think that cuts away the superficial part of when we have our vision boards and we're looking at that big, beautiful house and the family and the money or the dollar signs or whatever that is. We're not connecting with it, but you're putting your feeling into it. And that's what a lot of manifestation experts talk about. They're like, you really got to feel your way into it for it to manifest. And once someone has identified this authentic vision of theirs, how can they align their goals and actions with it?
So there's a few things. One is, when you set up your vision, you start to realize there's infinite ways for me to be satisfied. So let's just say you're in a job, and maybe you wanted to get a promotion and you didn't get your promotion when you thought you would, and you're really pissed off. You do your vision, and maybe one of the things that emerges is that you really want to grow. You want to develop excellence in your work. You want to be renowned for what you have to offer in this world. Well, you start to realize, actually, there's so many ways I could do that without getting a promotion. Like, I can go speak at a conference. I can take on this extra project. I can go work on this high profile project. I can ask to collaborate with this other team. And so you start to realize, there's so many ways for me to be who I want to be. There's so many ways that I can satisfy myself And so you certainly want to pick the sexy goals that you think are more likely to get you there into that state, whether it's being of
Happy.
influence, being
Oh.
happy, being creative, being peaceful, being having freedom, whatever it is. There's so many ways for you to get there. And so then, and then, you know, in the book, I guide you step by step on how to develop those goals and explore what's right.
That's good that you provide so much practical advice and it's not just fluff. You're like, nope, this is. And also, you probably share your personal experiences. Do you also share maybe some client experiences that were successful?
Yes, totally. I share both. I share my own because this was initially came out of my own misery at work. And then I also share my clients, and I've helped thousands of clients at this point go through the process.
That's
And
awesome.
I love that you said it's not fluff. I mean, I want it to feel like I'm your coach and we're doing this together and I'm holding your hand and you don't have to
Awesome.
guess on what to do or how to figure it out. Like, it's all there for you.
That's awesome. Do you mind sharing a success story of a client that did the inner work and achieved the satisfaction, the career satisfaction through the inner work that is outlined in your book?
Sure. I have a client who she had to go on sleeping medication. She had to go on medication to help her, like she had chronic illness develop because she was feeling so horrible at work. And she started working with me. She decided to quit her job, and I helped her transition into something new. And she was feeling better. And then the same thing started to return. And so one of the through our work, we talked about the importance of setting healthy boundaries and how can she set healthy boundaries so that she wasn't, 'cause there was no time for her. She was like leaving her home at 4:30 in the morning, coming home at 9, double booking herself, running around, not eating lunch. And she felt it was impossible to request to work from home. This is before the pandemic. And through the work that we did and the importance of realizing her well-being was important, I guided her on how to have the conversation with her boss. She got 2 days work from home. She learned how to say no.
Amazing.
She was home at 5 o'clock regularly. She felt so empowered. She thought she was going to quit the second job again. Ended up staying there for another 4 years, becoming a leader, mentoring other people, and was off medication. Like, I mean, so that for me was like, wow, like you're off medication, you're physically feeling better, you're not angry and gonna quit your job, you're feeling happy and you're inspiring others. Like, that to me is like, there's so many like that, but I love her story.
That's beautiful. Boundaries, I mean, they are so important. We not only have to set them with others, but also with ourselves. That's crucial, right? But they're obviously, honestly, for myself, I'm sure many listening, one of the most challenging things to establish. I'm a people pleaser. It happens, you know? So can you share more about the boundary builder exercise and how it helps individuals set effective boundaries?
So I'd like to say I'm a recovering people pleaser too. And I would imagine that a lot of your, listeners, because I don't know, I'm just guessing that most listeners are very sensitive and they're empathic, they're very emotionally intelligent, and all of those are gifts that we get as people pleasers. They kind of are two sides of the same coin. And what I get into the book is also the neuroscience of how the people pleasing develops and how it's actually a trauma response.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how it's a trauma response because we want everyone, we don't feel safe in our bodies unless everyone else is feeling content. And it feels dangerous for someone else to be almost unhappy with us or unpleased or angry. And so
So
we kind of do
unsettling.
all these backflips and gymnastics, mental gymnastics of like how to make everyone okay. And so I get into that in the book. And that's why it feels so hard to set boundaries, is because in our bodies, it almost feels wrong.
Yeah.
But I say it's not wrong. It's that you're just doing something new. You're doing something new and your nervous system is rewiring itself, and that takes time and practice. And so if it, if you feel guilty, if you feel wrong, I just encourage people, like, don't give up. So the boundary builder is the main idea behind the boundary builder exercise in the book, where I help people actually identify what boundaries they need to create. The main idea is that boundaries are less about no and they're more about yes. And so we focus on what are you saying yes to? Because it's not about pushing people out. It's not about saying no for the sake of it. It's actually about remembering, what am I trying to cultivate in my life? And keeping our focus on that, our focus on our vision of who we want to be. That gives us power to say no, because we know what's the important thing we're saying yes to.
Seriously, my nervous system, my whole body, my whole vessel, when I feel like I have to lean towards the people pleasing way, but it's not, I know that it's not what I really, really want. I'll tell you, lately choosing myself has been such a game changer, but it's so challenging. And in time we do overcome this, but how do we overcome it?
I think the more you practice, the edge gets easier. Like it
That's
does.
true. Yes.
It's like the edge. It's like, okay, I know I've been here. I know I can do it. I know this isn't, but it's still uncomfortable. Like, it's still uncomfortable for me. I still have to, like, coach myself through it before, during, and after that I'm doing the right thing. And one thing I would say is it really helps to have to borrow confidence. So one of the I find my children are my growth accelerators, and that's the hardest place I have to set boundaries is with my kids, because
I imagine.
I feel them, and I feel like I'm their mom, and I'm supposed to, like, and I want the best for them. And so I borrow confidence from my husband, and I let him support, like, this is okay, Stella, they're okay. Like, I borrow that from him.
That's
So
good.
I encourage my clients who are people pleasers to borrow confidence from their managers. Sometimes you just need someone else to tell you it's okay to say no. Like that client, I had her actually create that partnership with her manager, because she was always saying yes to all these requests. She wanted to be the go-to person to help everyone. She loved that, but she couldn't do that because she was, she had nothing left. So I said, partner with your manager, get clear on where your role starts and ends, and have her back you up when you tell someone that you can't support them on this particular project. So you can borrow confidence from other people. That's one thing. Another tip is to delay your yes. So if you're an auto yes kind of person, which most people pleasers are, because we're so automatic to, like, be agreeable. So I just say, if you can't say no in the moment because you're just, in the throes of it, just delay. Be like, oh, yes, I see this is so important. Thank you so much for considering me. Can I get back to you? Can I get back to you in a day, in a week, and, an hour? I just need to look at my schedule. I'm in the middle of this. And then that gives you the grace to really make a conscious decision. If it's a yes, go for it. But maybe you come up with questions like, why is this important? Have you asked someone else to work on this? What's driving the timing? That will give you time to make a more conscious choice and not abandon yourself.
And I've leaned on doing that before several times. I think right now we're not just talking about boundaries, but something else that you talk about in the book, which is conversation versus confrontation. And that is where a lot of us people pleasers happen to, or recovering people pleasers happen to have the challenging time with. But I do love that you talk about your use of tone, your choice of words, like saying, can I get back to this? And so I'm curious, what else, how can we foster or use specific words to foster conversations rather than confrontation?
I love that. I love that. Well, before we even think about the words, what I talk about in that chapter is we have to and think about the conversation with someone else. I say the most difficult conversation we have to have is actually with ourself first, right?
Mm-hmm.
What really is going on? Like, am I really pissed off that they just said this? Or is this about something much deeper, right? So we have to get clear on what's going on for us and what we really want in terms of an outcome before we talk. Because if we just jump right in, not only are we going to be in fight or flight, probably signaling a threat to this other person, putting them on their defenses, like shutting, we can shut it down before we even start. And so what we have to do before we prepare our words is prepare our energy. And so we have to delay as much as we can until we feel open, until we feel neutral, curious even. May I dare even say compassionate with this other person. And that takes time.
Yeah.
Especially if you're pissed off.
I'm so glad that you're saying this, because I think this day and age, a lot of people are like, just do it. Just jump in, go right for it, you know, own your worth or whatever they say. Of course, but maybe owning your worth for some of people is stepping back and taking some time to find that compassion or to find that space where they feel free to finally be real with that other person of how they feel in the situation. And also say it in a more compassionate or less controversial, confrontational way.
Yeah. So most, you know, like if you're a people pleaser, we end up avoiding the talking because we see it as a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
So we see it as something where we're going to have to defend ourselves, or that we have to go on the offensive. Like, why didn't I get this raise? I deserve this raise. Or like, what you said was like totally inappropriate, or, you know, they talked over me in a meeting, whatever it is. And what we need to do before we even get into that is to work with our energy to get into an open place, a neutral place, because if our emotions are contagious, we have mirror neurons, so we feel each other instantly without even language on an unconscious level. So if we're going in there feeling like we have to charge and prove, or we're going in there with judgment, or we're going in there feeling like a victim, that's being transmitted regardless of the perfect script.
So true. So true.
So I talk about, yes, we have to prepare our script, but it's more in an intention of sorting our own story so that we can be really clear, so that we can go in there, not just with like, it's either this or that, but actually like, maybe it's not option A or B, maybe it's going to be option D, E, Z. Like maybe we can co-create possibilities that is not in either of our imaginations before we speak. Like there can be real magic when you do that inner work before you go into the conversation.
Now I'm curious about your virtuous trifecta. When you talk about the virtuous trifecta, how can individuals apply this concept to make conscious decisions align with their values in their daily lives?
Oh yeah, this is my favorite. This is my favorite homework to offer to clients, because, and this kind of goes back to like, how do you bring that vision alive?
Mm-hmm.
So your values are your guardrails, and they are what should guide your decisions so that you are headed towards that vision. So if you're on the highway, they're keeping you in the right lane, moving towards your vision of who you are when you're most alive. And so we go through, again, I'm holding your hand to help you articulate those values. And then you choose a small set that you want to focus on amplifying in your life. So say you choose three, maybe one of them is like, for me, I'm always focusing on vitality. That's my top value. And so the virtuous trifecta is, one, know what your vision and values are. So have the awareness of what's important. Then I see this as a triangle. The next point is to actually do things in alignment with what's important. So make those choices. So I'm moving my body. I'm drinking my water. I'm taking my magnesium. And then the third point on the triangle, which completes the cycle, is to appreciate your choices, to notice that you're doing them. And so most people forget to appreciate. And so it's like you're sitting on a three-legged stool without one leg. You're very wobbly. You will always feel like you're not doing enough. You will always feel empty.
Yep.
Because you're not appreciating it. And then if you're not appreciating it, you feel like you're not enough.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, it's like, look at all the beautiful ways you've lived your values and your vision today. It's already existing in front of you.
1,000%. Oh, that is so beautifully said. And now I also want to talk about the science of happiness. So your book incorporates the latest research on the science of happiness. And so what are some surprising or even lesser known findings that you think have greatly impacted your clients or others' work in this using this method?
Oh my goodness. Well, there's so much research that's packed into this book.
Awesome.
One of my favorite studies to highlight is just to demonstrate the power of our moods and our emotions and what that does to our thinking and our vision. So this one group of researchers took two groups of people, and one they induced into a positive mood, showing them pictures of babies and puppies and like, oh, that's so nice, right? And then another one, they showed them really negative, scary, sad images. Then they put an eye tracking device on their face and they had them look at a screen, and they could track where their eyes went on the screen. And what they found is that the people who were in a positive mood, their eyes tended to go around the periphery of the screen and then scatter within. So they saw the whole picture. The people who were in a negative mood tended to just focus on one particular area of the screen. It was as if they had tunnel vision. So our emotions literally and figuratively impact what we see. Our reality is not objective. It is subjective based on what we're experiencing from within. So there's
man.
Yeah.
This makes a world of sense. A world of sense.
Yeah. And so if we think about how much information is stirring through our bodies, there's over 11 million bits of information flowing through our nervous system any second, but our brain can only process 40 bits. So we're doing a lot of editing, and what influences what we focus on oftentimes is our mood and our thoughts. So we, knowing this about ourselves, that's where we can empower ourselves by creating the conditions to help us choose our focus. Sometimes we're going to have a trauma response. We can't control that, but we can know that, we can observe that happening, and then we can return to ourselves and do things to create more peace within us, to expand our vision, expand what's possible, and to see a different reality.
Oh, that's so beautifully said. And also, I can think of times in my life where I felt like I was in a darker place and the world did seem smaller. I was just so focused on, like you said, the tunnel vision. I just had that one focus. Whereas when I allowed myself to, I wouldn't say I was purposely trying to be more positive, but something shifted where I did feel more alive and more ready to go out there. And I finally I allowed myself to be in a relationship and be social and, you know, do a lot more and be excited about life more. And I feel like when that happened, momentum kicked in and things started to get lighter and lighter and lighter. Even if some things were confusing, like I talked about my passion with this, other things, my life in and of itself was so much brighter and bigger. And I was looking at the bigger picture. I think that's when other things started to get mucky, but it's wild how much better I feel now. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Yes. Isn't it amazing how just the world opens up?
Yeah.
And I even feel like colors become more vibrant.
100%.
And just, and so I'm not saying that negative emotions are bad and that we want to get rid of them. Definitely not, because we don't want to sweep them under the rug. We want to process them. We want to acknowledge them. We want to be with them so that they can process and metabolize out.
Yeah.
And then we want to actively cultivate that positivity because it actually serves our well-being and it contributes to our flourishing and going out there and connecting and coming up with new ideas. It makes us more creative.
Exactly. And life has been more vibrant for me, but like I just said as well, work is a little monkey. So it's not linear. It's all nuance, but I would love for life to meet work, or work to meet my life actually. Whereas for a long time, work was very successful, but I was not in a happy, good mental headspace. Do you have any evidence-based techniques to help us incorporate this into our daily life so we can have a more overall well-being of work and life balance and happiness and yeah, just feeling lighter?
Yeah, well, I would want someone to go through the method. I would want them to go through a vision generator, getting clear on their values, just asking themselves three check-in questions about their values so that they could be like, yes, I'm actually doing these things in alignment with my values. And then why is it a virtuous trifecta? It's a cycle because it feeds into itself. It's like, oh, I am doing things towards my well-being. Look at all these great choices I made today. I am being the person I'm choosing to be. And when you remind yourself that you're being that person, even in the smallest of ways, you're observing that progress within yourself, you're looping up. And so you just keep doing that. You just keep savoring, even if it's the smallest choice, like, I'm not going to have a second coffee. I'm going to have an extra glass of water. You know, like, I'm not going to watch this show. I'm going to sit for 30 seconds on my rug and just breathe. You know, whatever those micro decisions are, and you just give yourself credit at the end of the day. And what you're doing is you're reminding yourself that I am powerful. I have control. It's not the world that has control over me.
Yeah.
I have control over some of this.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a mindset shift as well. One thing you talked about, which I think I would love to lean more into, is the playfulness. Playfulness. I feel like I'm so playful, like I said, in my life. My life is amazing right now. Work is just a whole different story. And I think that this method would really help. And so I'd love to bring more playfulness into my work. So it's, of course, essential. And I'm curious, how can we strike a balance between being practical in the decision making, but also maintaining a playful mindset?
It's such a great question. And I talk about the play, like a play model, where it walks you through how to get into a playful mindset, because we are intrinsically wired to play. Like, as humans in adulthood, we're still intrinsically wired to play, maybe not with Legos, but like just to be playful.
I actually play with Legos.
Okay, great. But it doesn't matter what the activity is. We can be playful. I'm playful with my husband when we fight, when I'm my best self. We can be playful in dark times. Playful means that we are suspending judgment. It means that we are curious about what opportunity is being presented. It means that we are fully present, acknowledging our reality, and that we're co-creating with whatever it is that we're dealing with. So the P is like, okay, I'm going to give myself permission to play. The L is letting go of how I think it should be. The A is accepting my experience. I feel like crap. I'm scared. I'm nervous. This sucks. And the why is yes. And yes, this sucks. And here's what my choice is, and here's what I'm going to do. So again, it's returning to that agency and that power that I have to stay light. So it's finding opportunity where it feels like obligation. It's finding curiosity where it feels like judgment, and it's creating with acceptance and allowance.
I love that. And I love that you said that my husband and I will still, even if we're fighting and you're your best self, you're being playful. And that shows so much. And that will translate not only into a healthier relationship, but into your work and everything always, you know, comes together. I think that's beautiful.
It's the best way to deal with uncertainty, because if you think about it, a very common response is to tag uncertainty as a threat. Like, you know, my boss got laid off. Am I next? I'm my retirement saved. You know, like all of the, you can start really going down a downward spiral. But if you are playful with it, it's like, oh, I wonder how this might even work out towards my advantage. I wonder how I might have the opportunity to grow. I wonder how I might create an even better relationship with my next manager. So we get to choose. And the way to nudge yourself towards playfulness versus anxiety in the face of uncertainty is by returning to your body. And how can I make myself feel more safe? How can I make myself more safe?
I love that, especially in stressful times, thinking to lean into the more playful side. Or this is a full circle moment, but you were talking about refocus. So what is being set up for us right now versus a setback? Because I know my mind can go wild and anxiety can definitely creep in and just create the most wild circumstances that are not likely to happen. And then a lot of the time though, something beautiful comes from it. So just to always lean into that.
Exactly.
Now, do you mind going through quickly again your 8 essential skills? I know we did in the beginning, but just like listing them off so we know the steps.
Sure. First is resilience, managing your mind and mood. The second is clarity, knowing your unique vision. The third is purpose, making decisions with confidence. The fourth is boundaries, so that you prevent burnout and be yourself with more ease. The fifth is play, dealing with uncertainty in a light way. The sixth is discovery, which is about finding fresh ways to love your work and life even more. The seventh is approach, which is going into those encounters as conversations versus confrontations. And then the eighth is refocusing, and that's the art of returning to yourself even when things don't go your way. That's the art of returning to yourself without pushing so hard.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And selfishly, I want to go back to discovery 2 seconds. Because I don't think that we talked about this. We skipped over a lot of steps and we kind of jumbled around. That was my fault because I get curious about one thing. But I would love to talk a bit about discovery when, let's say, you lose your passion in your work, or you are needing to find a new job, or whatever your situation might be. How do we explore or discover new pieces for our career path?
I love this question. And in the chapter, I lay out 7 strategies. And it
of course, so practical. I love
so
it.
Practical. I mean, practical is such an unsexy word, but I love it because I'm
it's a sexy word now.
You think it's a sexy word now?
Yeah.
Because I had one of my, I admire one of like the most like exciting people in the field of positive psychology review my book. And he was like, this is a practical guy. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Because all of this stuff can feel so ambiguous. And I want it to feel like I know what to do. So there's many strategies, and I encourage you in the beginning of the chapter, it's like you have to test your energy and what do you feel up for based on where you're at. If you're feeling ready to go for it, dive in, here's what you do. If you're feeling burnt out, here's how you go about it. But one of the things that I encourage One of the strategies I encourage is to go into what I call a discovery phase or a discovery tour. And this gives you permission to talk to people without feeling so vulnerable of admitting, I don't know what I want to do. Because that's very scary for people to say, they're, especially if they're very successful, to start having conversations and say, I don't know what's next. I don't know what I should do. And so if you label it, I'm on a discovery tour, I'm in a discovery phase, it sounds, you're putting a name on it and you're creating boundaries. And it sounds like I'm going to give myself permission to explore without figuring it out. I'm just gathering information. And that's the key to making it feel light, because you don't have to decide. You don't have to get the answer. You just get to get information. So just see it as you're going on a tour. You're going to check out new cities. You're going to visit the sites. You're going to see what it's like at this company. You're going to see what it's like doing this role and doing this type of thing. And you're going to see what's exciting. And you can decide if you want to return. You don't have to live there. You don't have to move your whole family over. And then it takes the pressure off. And I provide a series of questions to ask to make sure you're kind of getting the right information, but just give yourself permission to gather information without trying to make a decision right away.
Oh man, I love positive psychology. This is great. That sounds so, and it's so playful, and it's so, it lights your curiosity. I mean, one of my phrases for this podcast is, this is a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And ooh. I think that this is perfect for the listeners, the work happiness method. Is there anything else you want to cover before I ask you the last question?
I think this is such a great interview. So thank you. So good.
Thank you, Stella. Well, this is the last question that I ask all your own magic guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
I would get still. And I would start with the vision. I would start with the vision generator, because it's a reminder of your magic and putting it into words. It's describing your magical self in words, and it will, you, and to have it written, it's like a touchstone that you can return to when you're feeling off, and it will just, it will raise your energy. It will give you focus. And it will hopefully guide you towards being more of that every day. So I would do the vision generator.
I love that. That's a great way to create your own magic. And again, practical as well and playful. Well, Stella, this interview is exactly, like I said, what I needed. And I'm really lighted and excited by this and your science back, but also very open to allowing people to explore and be curious about their own life. And that's exciting. Like, that makes me so excited about my life and my work. And I hope it lit up a lot of other listeners, all the listeners as well. And you're just amazing, Stella. You're amazing. Oh,
thank you. That is my goal, is just, one of the meditations that I do, like that I've been doing with this book, is visualizing like people opening it and it being like light. That's so, thank you for saying that, because that's exactly what I've been visualizing, is just that people feel the light within themselves and feel connected to that.
And lighter. This conversation alone took away some sort of burden I was carrying.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you. And you've made my morning or afternoon. I feel lighter too. So ditto.
Amazing. Yomis, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.